coming at you hot,
Yeah.
temperature wise, because it's hot in Florida.
Yeah, y'all are welcome to it. No, thank you. No, I got
No.
really lucky. I think the weekend that I came down and visited y'all, like that temperature was perfect. Like it was warm but not scalding. And I'm like, that's great. Like, 'cause I'm not a fan of it. I am not a, it's the humidity. I cannot stand it. Yet I live here in the Midwest, so go figure.
No, that's how it goes, right? That you're stuck in the worst place ever. Well, not worst place, arguable for the Midwest, but at least it's usually places you don't really want to be.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've tried like in the last probably 7 months, we had a day that was 120 and a day that was negative 40. So like it's just like Satan's butthole. Like it can't decide from, it's like we get both extremes. Like there's been days here where it was hotter than it was in the Sahara and days here where it was colder here than it was in Antarctica. And it's like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
No, I feel that. We're getting to the point right now, which for anyone who's listening, I got absolutely toasted yesterday at the beach, recovering now, but it's just going to be swamp ass from here on out until November.
That's the way it goes. Yeah, I don't know. And I think about that a lot, like if I could live anywhere else, but really, when you think about anywhere you live, there's drawbacks, right? So, I mean, what do you do?
You stick with what you got, which is basically wherever you're at. So, speaking of wishing you were other places, thinking about WonderCon, I wished I could be there, and I'm sure you wish you could go back. Let's talk. Give me the breakdown. How did everything go?
It went great. I mean, it's WonderCon. Like
It's wonderful.
it's amazing. Did have the experience this year where it was, because last year we stayed in an Airbnb, and this year I stayed at a hotel that was like right there walking distance from the con, which I have to admit like made a huge difference, because you get to that point where it's like you get in right when it opens and then like 3 hours later your feet are kind of like bruh, and it was really great to just like walk back to the hotel, kick the shoes off, put your feet up for like an hour, strap them back on and go back in, and just kind of like alternated through doing that all weekend long. Of course, the cosplays that people brought were insane. I mean, that's like WonderCons where like people love to debut like the big stuff they've been working on, some of which they've publicized, some of which people keep quiet because it's a big reveal, and they show up for WonderCon. As you can imagine, the Saturday night after party was the Saturday night after party. It was mayhem, and I'm sure anybody staying in that hotel who was there for any reason other than UnderCon wished they were staying at a different hotel, because it was just the entire lobby bar was just an absolute madhouse in a good way. Nothing violent, nothing got broken. It's just a lot of really excitable people having a good time. This is what happens when you get like a whole bunch of introverts in one room. And they're out of the Shire for the first time in a year, and things are fantastic. Yeah, did a really fantastic, I hope really fantastic, photo shoot on Sunday on the roof of the WonderCon building, with several other cosplayers, and we had a professional photographer, videographer who was there who did a whole bunch of footage. Which, as a cosplayer, always drives you nuts because you want the stuff back like right away. But he was there all weekend, and I don't know how many cosplayers he probably shot with, and his material has been like trickling out ever since then, and we haven't seen ours yet. And you don't want to be that person to be like, bro, where's my stuff? I want to see it now. But you get really excited for the way that's all going to turn out. Yeah, that's probably run about. That was about the gist of it. I don't want to go on forever, but Saturday night, the X-Men fandom panel was absolutely insane. It was hosted once again by Christopher and Chandler. For those of you who are familiar with them, they're two of the three founders of the Uncanny Experience, and they had a good chunk of the voice actors from X-Men 97 on there. And that was really cool. Got to do, they got to do an hour of, answering questions, that kind of thing. And then when they let out all the voice actors are outside the, you know, the big conference room where they were having this ad, and all the fans were just mobbing them, and it was a giant ball of mess. And security's flipping out because there's too many people. And yeah, it's, everybody's getting their autographs and getting their selfies. I got several. So yeah, that was a, if I was going to encapsulate WonderCon, like that's where it was. And it's always the same thing. You look forward to it, you look forward to it, you look forward to it. You get there, it's absolutely amazing. And before you know it, you're on an Uber on your way back to the airport. And you're looking back over your shoulder as it drives away, like, no, take me back. So
I feel like, yeah, it's like getting in a relationship and having the best time, and then you have your breakup.
yeah. That's about what it felt like, because I my flight, you know, checkout time of the hotel Monday morning was 11 a.m. And 11 a.m. was pretty much the time I needed to get an Uber to the airport to fly back. And I'm just kind of like on the sleep schedule where, despite the craziness of the entire weekend and due to the time change and everything, I was wide awake at 6 a.m. And so you kind of don't know what to do with yourself. I had kind of packed most of my stuff up the night before, and you know, I just kind of like laid there in a bed in a hotel room by myself and watched TV and just kind of like, well, there's literally nothing to do now. All the WonderCon stuff is down, all the gates are closed, you know, and there wasn't enough time to like, you know, Uber to the beach or anything. So yeah, just sat there very alone, you know, blue, you know, post-con blues setting in before I've even, yeah, before I've even left the hotel. I'm already like thinking, well, for next year, maybe I should, you know. So yeah, you nailed it.
No, I think so. And it, but overall, it sounds like a great time. You know, you knew what to expect this time around, which is nice. It feels a little bit more comfortable, a little bit less anxiety, so you can have more of a footing. When it comes to some of the cosplays that you got to witness, what were some of like the most notable ones for you, or what ones really stood out?
First and foremost, there was this funny thing where Brittany Nolcross, Tall Brittany, as she's referred
Tell
to,
Brittany.
Tall Brittany, she had posted something in her Instagram story like a month and a half prior of raw printed pieces of armor, and you know, kind of gave it like a sneak peek, like, hey guys, what do you think I'm working on? And I took one glance at him, like, that's Taskmaster. What the shit, you know? So I DM'd her in there. I'm like, oh, that's Taskmaster, isn't it? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, shut up. Shut up. So I and then I DM'd her like a week before WonderCon. I'm like, hey, how's your Taskmaster coming? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, shut up. So needless to say, Saturday she's at WonderCon in an amazing Taskmaster cosplay, you
I
know?
love that.
Yeah, and she went like with the classic comic book look versus like the Black Widow movie look. That was really neat. You know, there's so many cosplayers that, you know, obviously Frank was there. He was in his Starboost armor. One of the days here, yeah, Saturday, he was there in his red hood, and I didn't even know it was him. Like, I think we passed each other three times, and I didn't even know. And then when I saw him at the after party, I'm like, dude, were you here today? What were you cosplaying? He's like, oh, I was Red Hood. And I'm like, well, there's like 10 Red Hoods walking around. Like, I had no idea that was you. So Gracie, the cosplay lass, if anybody has seen on Instagram her, I'll even hold it up here so we can get a little bit, seen her Carnage cosplay. I mean, she was wearing that on Saturday, and she actually wore that to the X-Men fandom panel, or no, not the X-Men fandom panel, to the Gail Simone panel Saturday afternoon.
Those
And
pics turn like they look really, really good.
yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the amount of work that had to go into that. Namor cosplayer debuted his Doctor Doom cosplay there, which looked amazing. He'd been working on that for a while. That turned out absolutely fantastic. I feel like being on the spot here now, like all of it's like flushed out of the back of my brain. But there's so many. I mean, you can't even, you know, I mean, literally anybody, just go to Instagram and like Google the hashtag WonderCon. Just scroll through of all the madness that went on there.
Yeah. And how do you feel like people reacted to some of the cosplays that you did?
Really good. You know, the funny thing is I did here I spent all this time working on this Baylan Skoll cosplay.
Which came out
And
amazing.
thank you. Thank you. Anything I could do to give the daddy vibes, because I'm just leaning into it at this point.
As
But
you should.
yeah, that came together really well. I did a photo shoot with it with a photographer there. you did the whole thing, walked around for a few hours, and it stopped and got pictures here and there, you know, and it was like okay, it was a decent enough buzz. However, Sunday put on the Red Guardian. Apparently that is just my jam. It took me, I'm not saying, you know me, Kayla, like I'm not this type of person. I'm just straight up being honest here. It took me from the time I got to like the first area, you know, like in front of WonderCon where like the food trucks are, it took me 20 minutes from there to get in through the front gates for the amount of people that stopped me for pictures, either like fans wanting to get selfies or professional photographers wanting to get pictures with me. It was an upgraded version of my Red Guardian. I printed out a new helmet and all of the accoutrements that came with that suit. As so many cosplayers know, like when you buy, you know, cosplay, like the main suit can be good quality, but everything else is shit. I threw all that out. I 3D printed a star for the center of the chest and painted it metal and then did some white over it, but made it look kind of scuffed up so you could see the metal underneath, and did a whole white like shoulder pistol harness thing, you know, with straps that holding the star in and a white belt. And yeah, and all through the con, it was just, and of course, whenever you're a Red Guardian, because there are so few Red Guardians, any Black Widow, Yelena, Captain America that walks by has to get a picture with you, like 100%. So yeah, I to that one there was a massive reaction, which I'm like, I've worn this one before. Like that was one that I thought I'd bring as just like my goof off one for Sunday. And actually that one ended up the biggest hit of the weekend. So
You know, I think I could have called that one. You fit the energy. Any like David Harbour character, I feel like you can embody. But I agree. Like it's such a great character, but like it's just he's not talked about often from the movies, at least. Like I'm sure comics is a different story, but like bringing that to life, and then it's like, yeah, the whole family's back together because you like draw in everybody. I feel like that would be so much fun, and you fit Red Guardian so well. I love you in Red Guardian.
Well, thank you. I just wish I was taller. That's the only thing that always throws me off about my cosplay, especially whether I'm doing Baylan Skoll or whether I'm doing Red Guardian, is that I'm 5'8", which to you a-holes out there calling me short, 5'8" is the average height of a male in America. So shut up. But yeah, if you're doing Red Guardian or Baylan Skoll, you'd love to be like 6 foot, like 6'1", because then it just gives like the more ominous presence. And you know, it feels weird when like a Yelena or a Black Widow comes up to me and wants to get pictures together, and they're like an inch taller than I am.
Because yeah, wearing like heels and stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's why I'm always like, hey, just do me a favor and get down and do a pose or something so I don't look like, you know.
You gotta get those like little platform lifts. I got some of those because some of the characters I was doing, a lot of them are taller, and I'm 5'5", but I got to be, I think I had like 3-inch lifts that I put in my boot that already had like an inch and a half heel. So I got to be like 5'10", and it felt good. You just got to get some of those, and then you'd be 6 foot easy.
I think I'm definitely going to, because one of the cosplays that I'm working on right now is my Doctor Doom one. And I would love to be taller for that, just especially when it's Doctor Doom. Like it's more like ominous, like Avengers level threat kind of villain. That'd be
Yes.
great. That'd be great to be, you know, at least a few inches taller for, you know. Otherwise I gotta ask the photographers to get low camera angles, you know, so that it looks like there's like a brooding presence or something.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be really cool. I'm excited to see because I've seen little clippets of you working on it, and the cape is like the perfect color green. Have you also seen on DO3D lately the Wolverine files?
I have, and that's you know, I as somebody who is clearly, for anybody who can see the wall behind me, I'm clearly a Wolverine fan. Have been since I was a kid. You know, my youngest child is named Logan. I would love, love, love to do a Wolverine cosplay. Finchie ain't got the body for that. Finchie's,
Well,
you
we've
know,
talked about that. Like, you can cosplay anything.
some people can. But yeah, unless we're like gonna do an alternate what if universe where like, you know, his healing factor ran out and he didn't switch to light beer, and that's where Logan ended up, you know, kind of like the old school Peter Parker. But yeah, I did see that, and that he puts out some great stuff. The Doom helmet and armor that I have is DO3D. And I got some other stuff from him too, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's where I did my Taskmaster initially when I was getting files for that. That like right when the movie came out, DO3D was on it. And they look decent. I didn't look too closely though, because it wasn't something I'd probably cosplay, but that would be cool. And I feel like I also heard something in the media recently about something with X2, like them doing something with the movies. Did you see that?
No.
Okay. If I can find the post, I'll send it to you or whoever might see it. But I think they're bringing back the original actress for something upcoming.
Oh yeah, there's rumors, because with Wolverine and Deadpool coming out, there are so many rumors, because people think that movie is just going to be packed full of cameos, because it looks like from the trailer is that for those of you who are familiar with the show Loki, is that the TVA comes and nabs Deadpool, and they're basically letting him loose on the multiverse, which allows him to like bounce in and out of like everything, even a lot of the old Fox movies like Fantastic Four, X-Men, and all that. And yeah, there has been a rumor going around that Daphne Keene, who's the actor who played Laura Kinney, aka X-23, in the Logan movie, is going to be making a return as that character, which will be a lot of fun, because I want to say in the Logan movie she was 8 or 9.
Yeah, sorry. I think I said X2, and I was thinking my brain's starting to combine C2E2 and that name. My bad. It's been a day.
Yeah, and if it did, so it's great, because she's like obviously like a full adult now, so getting her to
Yeah.
like come back in as a full adult and bring that character back in a way that we more know the character from the comics as being like an adult and not like a little kid. Yeah, that could be pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Well, I'm excited. And the movie is supposed to come out when? Soon? May? Or because they said 2024, right? Let's see. July. Oh, no, that's the old one.
2024. Do they have a release date yet? Yeah, July 26th.
Sweet. I know what I'm
So,
doing.
right. So, like 3 months still. That'll be one of those opening weekend ones I'm going to go see for sure.
Oh yeah, I know. I 2026. What day does that fall on? On a Friday. Perfect. That's gonna be really good. I gotta get tickets for that.
And have you heard the, did you catch the whole controversy? I guess not really controversy, but more lampooning of Dune, and when Dune 2 came out for their popcorn buckets. Did you catch any of that?
No, tell me.
So they put out these promotional popcorn buckets for Dune 2 that has a plastic lid on it, looks like the mouth of one of the sandworms from the movie. The thing just looks like a fleshlight from hell. It's just.
Oh
It is too, like, the second it got announced, the pictures came out, the internet just went wild. Like, are you serious right now? Like, people are literally going to sit there and just pump butter into that
yeah, I didn't feel like an elbow deep.
like, you know. Yeah, exactly. I'm just going for this. But anyway, I bring that up because it was announced this week that because of that, when the movie Deadpool and Wolverine come out, they're going to have their own version for their movies. So God only knows, folks. God only knows.
That's gonna be very interesting. I just watched Dune actually, for the first time, the first movie and the second movie. I wanted to read the book, but with the second one coming out, we just wanted to go watch it. What do you think? Did you watch it yet?
I have not seen the second one yet. We just watched, like, 2 weeks ago, watched the first one. Which was, I thought, was really good. And I vaguely remember the original, like, 1970s version of it. We had it on beta tape when I was a
Beta
kid.
tape?
Yeah, you didn't even know what beta tape is.
I don't know.
Okay. So you remember what you
Teach me
remember?
something, elder.
Okay. Back in my day. So here's what it was, is like, you obviously remember a VCR,
Yes.
and VCR took VHS tapes. Well, there was a period in time where there was a battle going on as whether it was going to be VHS tapes or beta tapes. And beta tapes were like, they were basically looked just like VHS tapes, except they were smaller. My dad in his workshop in the basement had a small TV and a beta VCR, and we only had a handful of movies for that. We had Dune, To Kill a Mockingbird, Howard the Duck, Top Gun, Empire Strikes Back, and NFL Football Follies. Those were
Now,
the six movies.
depression can't exist in that time when you have that
Yeah, exactly. So, and of course, we lived in a time where we had my parents had a TV in their room. We had a TV in the living room and that little one in the basement. So there was no, I'm going to go to my room and watch TV. So if I really wanted to
lineup.
get away, I went down to the basement and picked one of those six movies to watch. And I watched them over and over and over and over again. But yeah, one of them was Dune. So I remember watching a lot as a kid. But I mean, we're talking like probably 30 plus years since I had seen it. But anyway, watched, yeah, finally watched the new Dune. It was really good. Really want to see Dune 2. Like I like we had actually like we're like we definitely we gotta go see this in the theater. And then we just caught in the pinch of like WonderCon. And I'm not trying to make things heavy here, but while I was away at WonderCon, my wife's grandfather passed away. So during my flight back from California was like spent on my phone like making hotel reservations and literally got back for 2 days and then we had to get in the car and drive all the way down to southern Indiana and was there and then and by the time we get back, the movie's not in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, now unfortunately we're just gonna be waiting for streaming on that one. So, but yeah, I really want to see it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I think it was better than the first one, honestly, but it's very much a lot of buildup. And you know, it was really interesting, which there's probably been discussions. I'm just late to the game. If anyone knows me personally, which probably not a lot of people do, I'm really bad at social media and staying up with the times. I'm great at avoiding spoilers because of that. So people have talked about Dune, and up until this point, did I know there were sandworms in the movie? No. So, like, I need to go in fresh, did not know what to expect at all. And with that though, when I was first watching Dune, which I didn't watch the original Dune, just obviously like the newer one, but I was like, does this not give anyone Star Wars vibes? Like, okay, there's people here who are like offset from the general population. They are a little bit different. They're enhanced in a way. And then also the weird Baron guy looking like a slug, and who looks like a slug? Like that was just he creeped me out so bad though. It was worse. And Jabba always made me feel that way too. But to see it humanified was not a good time for me. But everywhere I looked in there, and then even like the sand blasters, I was like, is that a lightsaber? What is going on? Did you have the same feeling, or was like original Dune, did it also play off of that? Because I know the book came out before Star Wars was created for like film.
Right, yeah, the it was it to people who say I because I've seen a lot of that, and I've even like it became this thing like especially after like Dune 2 came out that Star Wars is a Dune ripoff. Listen, folks, it was 70s sci-fi. Like that's the way. I mean, so much was done in that way back then because that's what people thought were cool. You know, it'd be like people 30 years from now saying that Justice League was an Avengers ripoff or vice versa. And it's like, yeah, they're both superhero teams that fight a big bad guy who wants to destroy everything. Like, yeah, okay. Then, of course, you have your smart guy and you have your big strong guy and you have your assassin woman. Yeah, okay, you got these things, right? Maybe some elements of it were inspired back in the day. I have no idea. But yeah, you could definitely draw a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting, but overall, I'm excited for the upcoming ones too. Like I think it was really good. And we know talking about popular things that for those who have not heard in the media with Gen V and also The Boys, there was a passing that happened, which I'm not sure how casting will go on with that or like filming or whatever, but it sounds like The Boys is going to still be coming out in 2024, but Gen V unpredictable.
Yeah, and that's really sad. I mean, it's sad, you know, whenever anybody passes away, but also he was such a young and talented, fantastic actor. Like, you know, it's sad to see anybody go, but that's one of those ones when you see that, it's kind of a bit of a gut punch. It's kind of like, oh man, like you kind of like feel the loss.
I know, yeah, especially for us, like we bonded so hard with The Boys, and Gen V was arguably like I would say almost just as good, but to see it on with like a different standpoint, I really liked him also in that the show. Like, I think everyone was so especially for a younger crew. Like, it's hard to find really talented actors, but I think he did a wonderful job. And those, I don't know how to pronounce his name fully, but it's Chance Perdomo, I think. So I think he was 27 when
Gosh.
he passed away. That's
Man.
1 year older than me. That just hurts my heart.
Oh my Lord.
I know.
And it's a, you know, it's difficult, you know, because I you don't want to be that person, but you know, ultimately you have to like your thoughts have to go to like what's going to happen to the show now. Like that's because it's really hard to recast that. That's really difficult to do. Like, you know, they recast General Ross going from, you know, Civil War and, you know, Infinity War into now Captain America New World Order. But I mean the actor who's picked up the role is Harrison Ford. So it's like if you're gonna recast, you know, David, it was, you know,
Go
terrible to
big or
begin
go
with.
home.
Right, yeah. I wonder if we're gonna get Red Hulk in that movie. But yeah, it's you wonder, you know, obviously The Boys is gonna be coming out and you know they were working on we did we hear officially that season two of Gen V was coming, or was that just speculation yet?
I saw delayed indefinitely after his
Oh,
passing, so
yeah. Yeah.
it I think it might be a rewrite of something, because just like, because you know, with the first season, I forget, was it Golden Boy? Is that was his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I call my dog Golden Boy, so I was like trying to make sure I wasn't going over that. With him passing and being gone, and obviously the CGI, they could rewrite something with him passing away, especially with the end of season one. Like, there could be something where, oh, he actually ended up something happening. And then completely rewriting season two. But it's at the point where I would, you know, with season four taking up where they kind of left off on Gen V, they could have it where they might not even do Gen V moving forward, or they might just rewrite it and be like, oh yeah, you know, during spring break and everything happening, he went off and did his own thing, and now it's just these people. I think they can get away with going about it, but you know, with how they do things and operate out of respect, it might be a long time coming, or you know, it's hard to say. They made like just very little comments about it during the time they took a hard pause, but then I felt like it was jumping right back into promoting just season four of The Boys, but nothing about Gen V, so it's really hard to say what might happen.
Yeah, and part of you wonders, I think a big thing that'll tell is if they had started, I have no idea if they had started filming season two, because that ends up a budget issue, you know, because I've seen they did that. I don't know if anybody out there is a fan of House of Cards, but it was like one of my favorite shows. And when they were like halfway through filming the final season was when, shit. What the hell's that
When
guy's name?
shit.
Yeah.
You're having some memory problems, old man.
Yeah, let me tell you, my
That's
brain is scrambled eggs today.
okay. That
What's his,
happens.
I want to say Patrick, but okay. Yeah, they were halfway through filming the final season of House of Cards when Kevin Spacey, who's the show's lead, who plays the president in the show, got accused of like very inappropriate behavior in his younger days and was immediately released from the show. And so they decided he was not going to appear at all in the final season, but they are were already halfway through filming the season. And from what I
Oh.
understand, Netflix didn't want to spend any more money like reshooting stuff. So they just like literally on the fly had to rewrite the entire script, like suddenly without the main character not in the show. And film new stuff and use stuff they had already filmed to try and like hodgepodge together a season, and it was trash. It was just absolute trash because it was like the story didn't make sense. They were trying to use footage that wasn't filmed for the scenes that they had to use it in, and so hopefully with Gen V and The Boys kind of being a bigger deal for Amazon, that like budget wise they're like, hey, yeah, whatever we got to do to like do this and do it right, then yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And hopefully with their writing that they can definitely pay respect to Chance, Because that's just that was a lot. I was so sad when I'm young enough where a lot of my favorite people in film, I don't experience a lot of people dying. I think Toby Keith was my more recent one, but outside of that, like I haven't been really affected for a while. And so seeing that, especially a younger person, I feel like that's part of getting older though. I'm gonna hit that stage where everyone starts dying again. And it's just like,
Yeah, it stinks, I'm telling you. And you know, we're gonna w when you think about it, like, celebrity status, while not a new concept, it's a relatively new concept human history wise, in the sense that every year that has like passed since like the 60s and 70s, the amount of celebrities that are produced every year has gone up exponentially because mass media just is what it is. So we're going to like get to this point inevitably just due to pure math, where down the road it's going to feel like every day a celebrity is dying just because there's so many of them. And once they get to the point where it's like, you know, I'm realizing that now, you know, now that I'm in my 40s, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there were people who were like adults in movies when I was a kid that are now like starting to die off regularly, you know, because they're like in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And you're just like, oh man. I don't know. If you were, here's a question for you, Kayla. If you were an actor in a show like The Boys or Gen V, and you passed away like in between seasons, how would you want them to treat your character like going forward? Like, you want them to be super mournful and respectful, or would you just be like, guys, have fun, I don't give a shit, I'm dead?
I feel like the latter, but also to make it just kind of like really crazy of it CGI me into something and then just give me like the most, it sounds bad, but like give me the most violent, dumb death ever. Like I went like bungee jumping or whatever and the cord snap and I hit a bunch of rocks. Like give me something crazy, but then when people watch it, they're gonna just be mortified. Which, if you think about the purpose of film, if we're gonna make me die like that, it should be mortifying. And so you might as well bring in the emotions that are already there, and that's called film, baby.
That's right. Cut the check. Yeah, I would run want that written in my will. Like, I go bungee cord jumping and the cord snaps, but thankfully I had a parachute, but the helicopter didn't see me, and like, just, you know,
You
just
live off the land for 3 days, get mauled
yeah.
by a grizzly bear.
Yeah. I managed to kill it, but it takes one of my feet, and now I'm hobbling on a stub across
Get
the
gangrene.
desert. Yeah, eventually get gang banged by a group of coyotes or something. And I mean, like, cross the border coyotes, not like bark bark coyotes. Yeah, you just make it really, really ridiculous, please.
Yeah, no, yeah, go all out. Yeah, definitely play off of the emotions. No, I agree. If I was acting, I would write that in there. Be like, if you take me on, part of my contract means if I somehow die in the meantime, you got to make it gnarly. But you also have to release that to the press and be like, Kayla's last wishes. It's gonna be gnarly season four, baby.
Bent over to pick something up off the ground, got annihilated by a drunk driver in the Oscar Mayer mobile. Like, just go to town, please.
Yeah, and you know the worst and saddest part is that I wouldn't be there to view it, and
I
I
know.
wish
I
I
know. My grandkids would just be like, oh my God.
I live on through TV and movies,
Yeah.
and like I'm on like that Mojo Jojo whatever thing that they do, and it's like top 15 worst deaths in history, and here's a little extra spice on why.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. And I'd love to like be a ghost and like watch my grandkids whine about it and be like, bitch, you're living off my will. Like, you're crying your eyes with $100 bills you got from when I passed away. So,
Yeah, all these YouTube videos that are monetized are giving you money because using my image and my likeness. AI don't got shit on me.
That's right. I will haunt you forever.
Yeah, no, I think yeah, making a dark situation light, that's probably where I'd want to take it.
Yeah.
So
So,
maybe discussions are had. Maybe actors and actresses already think about that and have conversations.
yeah, I definitely would. Like, at my age, like, if they came today and were like, hey, we want you to be in this, I'm like, okay, but listen.
I got rules,
I'm
bitch.
44 years old and I come from a long line of bad tickers. Here's the deal. If something happens, the Oscar Mayer mobile has to be involved somehow.
Yeah, I approve that statement. So, across the board, we've talked about WonderCon, we've talked about Dune, we've talked about dying, unfortunate situations with Gen V. Is there anything else on your radar, moving forward with plans or any events that you want to be doing?
Well, we definitely like here we are 2 weeks away from C2E2, which I mean it's C2E2. I'm very thankful, as you recall last year, both you and I were like running the con gauntlet at this time of year because you were like back to back to back and I was back to back. And I'm very thankful that this year there's like a month in between WonderCon and C2E2 because that was just too much last year. I don't know how I survived it.
I barely did.
Yeah.
I was on my deathbed. I was coughing and hacking. I'm
Right.
surprised I have both my lungs.
Right. Yeah. I'd call Kaylee, like, how
Just ended already.
you doing? She'd be like, oh. Yeah. Write me out with a bang.
Sounds like I had two packs of Pall Malls and I'm on my third.
Right. Bring me the one ads. yeah, that's going on right now. We're definitely riding the tide. We're halfway through now, season one of X-Men 97. So 100% riding the wave of that right now because the attention around it is insane. After that, I feel like for the first time in months, there's going to be some calm. Because I don't know about you, I don't have anything from C2E2 here now in 2 weeks. It'll be right at the end of April. I don't have anything until Fan Expo Chicago all the way in August. And
Oh, wow.
then it picks up again because August is Fan Expo Chicago. September is Uncanny Experience. October, yeah, right now New York City Comic Con's a 50-50. I really want to, but some certain things got to work out in order for that to happen. And then we're after that, we're right back into winter and then just counting the days till WonderCon again. So you're coming to WonderCon next year, right? I'm just gonna go ahead and like put you on the spot right now
Plug
and just
me
be.
in. I think that I could probably make it next year. Because when do we know what the dates are?
Don't know for sure, but typically it's right there, like the last weekend in March.
March. Okay. Yeah. Let me check my calendar. No, just kidding. Yes, financially, because that will give me time to save. I will be most likely able to do that. It's just a matter of having like an actual cost way to do. But I do think I could be there. And I think for me, because I wanted to do even MegaCon this year. And for like last year, it happened like the first week in April. So recently, I was like, oh, it's probably coming up. They had it in February. And I was
Yeah.
like, ah, I missed it. If I've just been, not a lot of people know this, but recently I graduated, moved to Florida, then did all the cons, but then financially and student loans. But I'm working on it. So I got a good chunk of those paid off, which means my goal was to be debt free by 2025, which means going to Comic Cons, having money for cosplays, building stuff, hopefully getting back into 3D printing. But at this point, I don't know if I'm physically able to when it comes to the post-production work with like the sanding and stuff like that. When I was in St. Louis, my roommate did a lot of that work for me because my hands, they're screwed. They shake so bad. And then when I actually use palm sanders and all the things that are supposed to help alleviate some of that, my hands shake for hours on end. It's so bad. So at this point, 3D printed stuff, I might not get to actually do armor wise. And if I do, it might be eliciting the help to get it like sanded and stuff. Like I'm great at painting, but the rest I can't. If I can do fabric-based cosplays, which means I need to expand my horizon on different characters to do, and X-Men's great for a lot more fabric-based cosplays, but typically like Marvel, not a whole lot. There's always armor pieces in there, or the type of fabric they use is that really interwoven or like those geometric patterns on it. You've probably seen that too with some of like the Red Guardian stuff. Like that type of leather is important and very expensive. So
Yeah.
if I have to, my goal in 2025 is to find one or two like main characters that I can just roll with for a while, but Trying to find the perfect ones means, yeah, expanding my horizons, watching different stuff, and then building off of that. But I think it's going to take a little while. I'm working all the time, and I hate being an adult now.
Yeah, it sucks.
It was easier. It was easier when I was doing an internship and then just grad school. I could do a lot of stuff, but at this point, it's like I have to think about a 401k, and how depressing is that? Not the move.
Yeah, it's there, you know, and it's kind of like I'm the same way because I work 6 days a week, and it's like, you know, which makes con crunching like even worse because it's like when I've got like just a couple weeks to a con, if I wanted to, like if I really wanted to, I could like bust ass for 2 weeks and have the Doctor Doom done in time for C2E2. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen because I'm just straight up not putting myself through that stress. Because then you're rushed and then you're like even more frustrated every time some little corner of it isn't perfect. And yeah, the hell with it. I'll get it done afterwards. I'm just bringing Baylan Skoll and Red Guardian to C2E2 and I'll have Baylan done sometime probably a week or two after, you know, but it's just, yeah, it's not worth completely killing yourself over, especially like you said, when you're an adult and you have like responsibilities. You know, there are times I wish, like, man, I wish the technology existed. I wish social media existed and all these things when I was like 19, 20 years old and had infinite energy and no responsibility. You know, and then it was like, yeah, because then you could just sit all day and be like, yeah, I can function on 3 hours of sleep for a week straight. That's totally fine. But yeah, not as an adult.
No, I know. I'm only 26, but I have the brain and energy of someone in their 70s. And gosh, does that make it hard to do life? Yeah, your girl is constantly tired. But yeah, that is my goal to get into it and to the point, because like right now I delete all my social media, so it's I'm not the unfortunate. And that was probably the worst time to do it was when WonderCon happened. But it was okay because I was getting hella FOMO, and so taking out the app. I feel a lot better mentally and I'm not as sad. But there's a lot of good inspiration there. And like all the pictures that you like the early ones that you showed me, they look really good. And that gets me jittery again and it makes me want to get going. So hopefully I can put a fire under my ass and actually get myself started for that. But it's hard, especially for me. I've been out of the game for a while. Once you're like that, it's just so hard to get back into it because it's kind of like trying to think of how to explain it. It's like you see your potential there, and thinking about it though is just so overwhelming at times, and then you just make yourself dig yourself deeper into a hole. And it's kind of shitty for the mental health. But I want to get back to the point because it was such a good connection with other people socially, and it's nice to create something.
I always say, you're never behind. You're just where you are, you know.
I like that.
Because I mean, keep in mind, you and I, we were friends. I did my first cosplay at 42. So you're still way ahead of schedule of where I'm like decades ahead of where I was. But no, I feel that like at one point in time, you know, several months ago, I was sitting here with three printers that hadn't run in a while. There was something wrong with all three of them, and I didn't know what. And because of that, they sat there because it just felt like even beginning was climbing Mount Everest. Like, and the longer it sits, the worse it gets, the worse it just sets in. You know, eventually I just kind of like tell myself, yeah, like, you know what? I'm just gonna dust them off today, take a look at this one, maybe think about what might be wrong with it, and then walk away. You know, and then, you know, maybe a little bit more the next day. And then eventually I just decided one of them was trash and I got rid of it. And 2 days later, Micro Center had a sale on Ender 3s for like $150 and I bought a new one. And, you know, it is what it is. And I definitely think that it's supposed to be enjoyable, you know. So when you're to the point where you're just like stressed out, that's not a good time. So treat it like a hobby, treat it like something fun, you know, like kind of like, you know, like, you know, it's like a garden. Like if you want to grow a garden, and I know about your gardening expertise. But if you want to do a garden, like the garden's only going to grow if you tend it. Like that's all there, you know, that's what there is to it. And I definitely am somebody who will tell you, and you've known this because you've known me and we've been in each other's lives, that I've had this whole ebb and flow to it. Like I've gone through periods where I've like all three printers are cranking and parts are kicking out and I'm like spending every minute outside sanding and everything. And then I go through other periods, you know, like I said earlier, where like none of the printers are running. I don't know why, and I'm just mad at them. And then because of that, they just sit there because it feels like a stress. It stresses me out even thinking about walking over to them and figuring out what's wrong. And that stress turns into like being paralyzed, and that paralyzed turns into avoidance. And then it just like, it just keeps building on itself. And eventually, after so many months of just seeing them sitting there, I get to the point where it's like, and I think sometimes mentally that's good. Like mentally, sometimes you need to step back, and like for me, it was like enough time had passed where it was like, it didn't, like it was stressful to think to figure out what was wrong with them. But then I had been away from it for so long that the notions of new cosplays I wanted to do, like that excitement began to override the stress of, to eventually then I was just pissed off. And I'm like, I'm gonna figure out what the fuck is wrong with you right now. Like today, I am making all three of these printers my bitch, and we are getting rolling again. And now we're back rolling again. So
Yeah, no, I think those are really good points. And trying to get back into it, even if it's small steps of either just using an Ender 3, because it's you could throw that on the ground and set it back up, it'd be fine. Other ones, bigger ones, they don't work like that. But yeah, I think getting back into the swing of it is a good start, or like exploring, doing research on different characters, and trying to. I feel like maybe even just add in a new skill. We talked about me learning how to sew. I haven't done that yet, but it's just, yeah, you're right. It's like that paralysis type fear because you're trying to do something new. You don't want to be overwhelmed because life right now is already overwhelming. It's like taking that on, you have to be mentally prepared. And sometimes you just try to keep yourself sedated, but sometimes you need to take it on because that can help you to get over it. It's just a lot at first, but yeah, you're right. I think I need to get a move on. Maybe I need to set like a good due date of like plan structure of okay, like by in 2 weeks I need to have a character, in a month I need to be having ideas for either fabric or files, and then with that like a to-do plan with actually printing, getting it, sewing, what have you.
Yeah, let me know, because we can always body double that shit. Like, yeah, like, well, let's get on, FaceTime together and goof off with shit. This is gonna, I don't mean to get really deep, but I 100% believe this. Every single person out there, every single person listening to this, you cosplay as your worst enemy every single day. Every single day. Nobody will defeat you more than yourself. Nobody will be more detrimental to your self-confidence and your ability to get anything done than yourself. And I say, I do it 100% every day. The amount of times I look in the mirror and I'm like, would you stop being a bitch? Like, please, like, just knock it off. But I firmly believe that. And I'm by no means perfect at it. Like, I struggle with it all the time too, where, you think like, oh, that would be an amazing cosplay, but I could never do that. I could never get that done. I could never, my skills aren't that good. Well, the person who did it, their skills didn't start off that good. So, everything is just a matter of progress and building on itself and, in a lot of ways, kicking your own ass.
That's true. That is. You got to refine your skill. And when you get out of whack and then you have those high expectations for yourself, you kind of have to be real and set yourself straight. Be like, you're going to be a little sloppy at the beginning, but once you get back into it, once you get comfortable, it's like learning how to ride a bike. You just got to sit on the freaking bike.
Nothing's going to get you better at it than just being on the bike.
Exactly. So okay, I feel inspired now, and I'll do some homework. That sounds good.
I like it. I like it. We got
Okay.
anything else we want to talk about on this bad boy?
I would say we've been talking for a little bit, so we can tell people what's up and coming. I think will be fun.
Yes.
We
Yes.
are planning on doing some mini episodes, and by mini, we don't really know how long that's going to be yet, but we came up with a really good idea where we were talking about the lore of characters and how a lot of people cosplaying might not always know that lore because a lot of people are ingesting that material via movies and TV shows these days. They're not getting the comic book information that people got way back in the day. So we're going to be looking at specific characters, doing a little bit more research, and Finch using his comic book knowledge, but me getting out there and learning more about the comic book knowledge to be able to give you the lore on those characters. So if you want to cosplay someone, or if you learn about someone's story and that inspires you to cosplay them, or a certain, version of where they appear in a comic, that's what we're going to be trying to aim for. So you guys are going to be more knowledgeable about the characters, or maybe just learning something new, or, following along for some of your favorite people.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll kind of be our like nerdy AF history lesson series. Some of the characters we've already got in mind, it's going to be fun to talk about, and I'm already excited for like what characters will come up for after that. So that's going to kind of be our next project. And Kayla, I don't know about you, I just kind of like, I personally just like really like these like catch up BS sessions, and I think we should have like a lot more of those episodes as well, because like, because then we just get to be us and we're not worried about like, you know, so much interview and what's an interesting question to ask.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think the best thing about us is that we just bullshit. And even if that's related to what our topic is supposed to be about, or if we're talking about how shitty the weather is in Illinois, either way, it's a good time. It reminds me of like sitting out in a shop on a bucket talking to people because you don't have a chair and you just have a couple beers and you let it ride. If you guys haven't had that experience, you should go get that experience because that is top tier shit.
If you have never sat in an upside down green Menards bucket with a cold beer in your hand in someone's garage, well after the sun has gone down, you
You've
don't know
not
what you're
lived.
missing. Yes.
No,
You
I
can hear the crickets and the locusts in the distance, and it's fantastic.
agree. It is. And it's, oh gosh, it's perfect. So hopefully we can keep bringing that vibe to the pods. Let me go bring my camera and just find a barn somewhere and just set up. That would be a vibe, but I will not have internet, so it won't work. So a girl
Well,
can dream.
we'll just go full Letterkenny on it. Hey there, Kayla, how you been? Good,
Oh
you? Not
yeah.
so bad.
I can, yeah, let me just take my background and make it a barn and then just sit on a bucket, but I'm actually in my house, have a fan hitting me, and then like in the background some YouTube of like crickets.
Yeah, get some coveralls and sit, just, you know, you got to spread your knees and sit
Oh
just
yeah.
right. And yeah,
Yeah.
we'll do it out by the produce stand. It'll be amazing.
I love that. Yeah. Or I could get like that little, I could be Katie and just get the lawn chair and just be laying out and be like, yeah.
Oh, is that what you appreciate about me?
I
Your
love
sister's
it.
hot, Wade. I said it.
Just run to the cornfield.
Too fat to run. Yeah, it'd be amazing. But yeah, that's what we got in store for you guys. So we're gonna get cracking on that as soon as I'm back from C2E2. And yeah, that's the deal, man.
Okay, well, thank you guys for tuning in, enjoying our BS sesh, and we will hopefully talk to you guys again soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.